Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Two down, one to go. As we roll on down the road, we have touched a lot of topics, a little too much Rockets for me, but we got to some basketball, which I didn't think we would do, but we did, thanks to Kurt Lowe. And by the way, thanks to Knicks Fandemonium for a team that hasn't played a regular season game yet. But after doing that, and in the process of also doing a lot of college football and some Texans, we still have a lot to get to, including a lot of football. Keenan McCardell at the bottom of the hour. At 3:30 to 4, he'll be here. So if you have questions for him, fire away. Barry will undoubtedly man the lines of the tweets and texts to make sure that the good ones are in and the bad ones are put where they belong. And also plenty of other things to get to. Barry, one of the topics that you wanted to touch on that we did not touch on when talking college football was the scenario that played out at Baylor.
Yeah, apparently the lady who led the investigation at Baylor, Patty Crawford, just quoting this article that came out today, said Baylor University said in a statement that Patty Crawford was disappointed in her role in implementing the recommendations of an independent investigation into the school's handling of sexual assault allegations. I haven't had a chance to catch up on the whole article, but according to Jung, apparently they were asking her to sign a waiver where she could not go and talk to the media. Or go out and, you know, have discussions with the reporters, and she refused to sign that. And so now she's saying that, yeah, there's mudslinging going on, so it's starting to get ugly again. At one point, I think Baylor came out and said, well, you know, there's discussions of $1 million and book deals and movie deals, and she wants to retain those rights. Her lawyer fired back and said, hey, listen, we're not going to discuss what was done in arbitration or mediation because that's against the law. So if they want to go out and break the law, that's fine. But I can tell you that mediation ended in her favor. So it's getting ugly, man. It's getting nasty. And I really hate to see that, but it's a very fine line that I think Baylor needs to continue.
You got
to
clean it up.
To be very careful of. Yeah.
You got to clean it up. And whether, you know, you can go all day on the did Briles know, didn't he, which – again, unless you're living under a rock and you're the head coach of a program like that, you've got to have indications, and there have to be signs that have been put in front of you that show that things are going wrong and going badly. But as a program, what's really sad but true is that no one has even realized that their team is playing really good football because the team is so the program itself is so damaged and needs so much reform. That you're right. They just need to clean it up.
Well, and she said in part of the interview, she said, you know, and I'm not quoting here, but she said, am I going to be part of the problem or part of the solution? And that's part of what went into why she decided to step away. And this is a quote from the article. She said, I never had the authority, the resources, or the independence to do the job appropriately, which the Department of Education writes in its guidance for Title IX coordinators in universities, Crawford said. She said that including being disconnected from meetings and conversations and the university, quote, making decisions only a Title IX coordinator should make based on protection from the brand. So I think she also felt like that they were starting to edge towards, hey, okay, we've been through enough. We have to protect the brand. And she didn't like the way that it was looking in that regard either. So it's a very touchy subject, man. And if I'm Baylor and I'm there, your brand is already ruined. I mean, you really need to just own this and and take the best course of action, because the only way you ruin your brand even more is if you continue down this path of denial, or where you're trying to, where you start to try to protect the brand. I think if you just come out and own it and say, listen, this is screwed up, and from top to bottom, we're going to make this right, whatever it takes. But it doesn't sound like that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like we said, regardless of whether you're looking at it from the standpoint of Art Briles and what he knew, what he didn't know, and if he'll get another job ever, the main thing is, and the important thing here is, for the protection of these kids. These kids that are involved in the school, are involved in the program, and going forward, it just needs a complete redo, and it doesn't matter what they do on the field. It doesn't matter about wins and losses anymore. It matters about doing the right thing and taking care of the student athletes and the people that are just enrolled at the campus. And I think that's where Baylor's got to just come to the reality check that, fine and dandy, your team is winning and you're winning football games, but winning games on an athletic field should never take precedence over the safety overall and the protection of the student body.
Yeah.
Is that fair enough?
Yep.
How about this one too? Another one on the college campus that was really disturbing with everything that's been going on in the world. This morning, a man armed with a machete inside the Champion Center at the University of Colorado's Folsom Field shot and killed the Boulder camera reporting, citing sources close to the investigation. Champion Center, home of the Colorado football program and athletic administration. In a statement Wednesday afternoon, Colorado Athletic Director Rick George said, regarding the incident this morning in our Champion Center, first and foremost, all of our student athletes and staff are safe. We have safety protocols in place, and when everyone received the campus alert, all responded accordingly, and the protocols were effective. On the good side, hey, fantastic that no one was hurt. On the bad side, what the hell is going on in society today? And I don't know why it's the Colorado football program as opposed to any other building, but it doesn't matter. The bigger question is, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. A machete. So where was he now? He got inside the...
A machete-wielding man got inside essentially the building on campus that is the home of Colorado football and athletic administration for the university.
Was he dressed as a clown? Because that may have some explanation.
Or a smurf, based on your conversation yesterday.
Damn them smurfs.
But regardless, either way, you just have to ask yourself what's going on, because this is just crazy stuff, and the stuff... You know, day in, day out, just gets worse to where you don't know where you're safe anymore, and that's a shame. And based on the last two stories we just touched on, we know that when you go to college, where you think you're in for the best 4 years of your life, and you know, and parents drop off their kids thinking they're there to get their higher education and be in a safe spot, you're not so sure anymore. So that's a sad state of affairs.
They got to make choices too, man. I was crazy in college, but you got to make choices.
Wait, just the way you come across on the air makes us all believe you were so wild and crazy in college, Nick.
Isn't there open carry on some campuses now? I think in Texas or something like that.
I would not know that. That'd be crazy.
Maybe not open carry, but there are carry laws now that are being put in place at many of the campuses, like campus carry. I think that's a thing. Wasn't that a thing at UT where they were out there with the sex toys waving those around instead of guns?
I vaguely remember that. I usually remember things like that.
Yeah, don't get me started. I'm pretty sure that was a thing.
I'm still stuck on this whole Nick was pretty crazy back in the day, because my idea of Nick being crazy back in the day is like daring to play video games after midnight on a school night. I don't see Nick as being that guy. Any guy that's going to a Texans game during the day and then the Rockets preseason game against the Shanghai Sharks at night, driving the hoopty, driving mom's car, and not worried about the dating scene, I just don't see you going all out as a party animal.
The game or Madden, I did.
He's just killing you with the mom car thing too, bro.
You brought it up. You were the one that expanded on it. I just made a quick reference, and you wanted to go deeper, Mr. 60 Minutes.
You keep bringing it up, though. I haven't brought it up since.
Look, I want to help my man out. I love my man Nick, and I want my man Nick. But when Nick makes the statement, I mean, back in the day, I was pretty crazy. I'm thinking
pretty
crazy
wild.
Was like, as a kid, you accelerated to the advanced Legos with the little faces on the head.
I used to do stuff like cross the street without looking. I was a wild kid.
I think everybody's done something crazy in college. I'm very interested to know what you did that's classified as crazy.
Classic deflection.
Yeah, see, exactly. Yeah.
That's a good try,
Don't
Nick.
Talk
still
about
on
me.
You.
Talk about
We're
you.
We're still on you.
It's all good.
When you used to run with scissors, were you a wild guy like that?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah?
Blades.
Pet stray dogs and eat candy you didn't know who it was from? Look at you.
Shaved
wild
with
man.
A straight blade?
What? Ooh.
I thought you guys would be impressed by that.
You would flick the Bic and didn't have an electric razor? Look out now.
JT Barrett, the
Ohio State quarterback?
No, the Rock the Mic winner from 2 years ago. Yeah. He validated. He said, yes, people were walking around with the sex toys on campus protesting. See? I'm not crazy.
Well, you are, but at least for one story, you bought yourself some credibility.
Touche, Joel. Touche.
You're still on that.
That's your new name now. I mean, we have to. Kurt has rebranded you to Joel. I like it.
Kurt Lowe, see what you did? You completely turned this damn show upside down in one call.
Hey, you're a fan.
Yeah, it's your fan, too. But he didn't even know your name.
I like him, but I didn't know where all that came from. Talk about left field. That was in the bleachers in the top row, along with the beer cans were thrown in the Blue Jays.
He did tweet out his forecast, and he has the Rockets fifth. So I don't know that he was all the way on crack.
He sounded like
he did. So just a little bit, but yeah, good times.
Again, that's like Nick. That's deflection saving face after the fact that you probably went just a little too far in the statement beforehand. You crazy guy, Nick. That's why we should play King Tut again. Because you are, and Steve Martin, you are one wild and crazy guy, would fit you based on all that.
I've banned that song.
What?
King Tut by Steve Martin. We're not playing that again, ever.
Good for you. Way to take a stand.
Yeah,
I like you. I like this new forceful Nick.
Yeah.
By next week, you won't be asking your parents for as much money for an allowance either, right? Wow. How about that?
Where'd you get that from?
My back pocket. Yeah. All right.
I like it when you guys fight like this. It just gives me something
to
watch.
Just like Lamont thinks we were fighting on the air because we took two different sides of
good.
A story.
I wish everyone could see their faces. Nick has this angriest look on his face. I'm just kidding.
I hate you, and I hate your ass face.
See?
You need other people to do your dirty work, too, on recorded messages.
I think that was for you, Joel.
Yeah, when people call you, do they get a recorded message? Nick?
Sure. No, they don't. It goes straight to the...
You guys have made this awkward.
Generic, automated...
Wait a minute. For once, we made it awkward.
You guys have made this awkward.
All right. Hey, with all that, we don't want to make it awkward for you. We've got Keenan McCardle at the bottom of the hour. If you want to talk football, he'll be here from 3:30 to 4. Otherwise, we've got plenty more for you in store. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
El Jefe, exciting Barry, with exclamation marks based on some of his tweets as we come back for the final hour and change as we wrap things up over the next 45 minutes or so on this beautiful program. We have covered a lot of bases. We've gotten a little off base at times.
Rockets discussion was
thanks, Kurt Lowe.
Way off
that,
base.
It's the beauty of the show and the fact that we can do what we want, how we want, when we want. And hopefully we do it because of you, because in this case, it was completely all on Kurt Lowe's shoulders. And now he's backtracking on Twitter, but we're happy to have him part of the show. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I don't
Kurt
know about
that. Backtracking on Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah,
he is.
I don't know that I'd say we're happy to have him as part of the show if that's what he's going to do. Come in here and wreck shop and just throw out outlandish things about
especially
the Rockets and then
especially
backtrack.
Especially when he tells the interns taking the calls that he wants to talk about Charlie Strong.
Yeah, see, I think he should have to suffer like a 2-month ban for that.
Yeah, he's told me he wanted to talk Charlie Strong.
Yeah, what the hell, Kurt?
What's going on, Kurt?
And then he messed up Joel's name.
And I'm never going to live that down.
Nope.
Because
you can blame him for that with Joel.
Barry does that. I don't bring a saddle, but he rides me every single day he's in here. And it's fine.
No, not every day.
Pretty close. Well, every day you're here.
Well, it's what I do. I got to keep you
on
your toes.
The show.
That's right. I got to keep.
So,
yeah, you ride Nick every day.
What's wrong with
you? You got to be able to take it when you dish it out.
First of all, I don't ride you every day, Nicholas.
Yes.
Every other day.
When I'm here, it's every day.
So maybe every day that ends in a Y.
Because you do it with Trap, too.
Oh, see?
Unacceptable.
See? He hits you with the unacceptable.
But I'm not scared. I'm not scared.
I have a lot of people reminding me that what it was called was... I'll say Crocs and Glocks, but take the R out of Crocs on the UT campus was what they were doing. Crocs and Glocks.
Yeah,
but it was,
I know what you said.
Okay.
I just want to make sure everybody else is following along for the sake of...
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to clean it up as best I can. And then now there are people in the text lines complaining about the stream again. It's not working. Bobby,
Nick, can you
we're
fix
sorry.
That for him, please?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you sounded excited about it, but hey, we need our text and Twitter followers, and we also need our internet followers and our app downloaders. So, by the way, if you want to make sure that you clean it up, use the app, but the app's got to be working. That's part of the process.
Can we just throw this out here? Every time I see people talking about the app, it's always the same conversation that comes up on text, on Twitter. They all hate on the reheal spots. And I don't know what's going on. I've not heard these
yet. Yeah, there's a different
yet.
Set of spots that are on the app
I have
that
not
are on
heard
the air.
These. Are they bad? Can we get some and run them on the show just
sure.
to hear them?
Oh, look, I've never even heard
I've never heard these, but apparently this is a big deal because every time I see people on the text lines talking about the app, they're hating on Raheel and his spots.
But you
and
do
Raheel's
know
a
that
genius.
No mention is a bad mention in Raheel's mind.
That's
so
true.
So the fact that at least he's out there, he's very pleased with all that. But at the same time, I have heard the same thing. They love the app. They take us everywhere. I said that Travis is hard to fit in a suitcase, but the rest of us, we can go wherever they go. And you can take us across the country. We have listeners in California, New York, Wisconsin. Everybody's chimed in, and we appreciate that. And it's a way to make sure you don't have to worry about any signal, any issues that might come up. You get us 24/7 all the time, and we love that. But if there are Raheel spots playing that are disturbing, we need to know about them because we're constantly doing the show. We don't know what's being played.
This is the text I got. I'm going to read this. I'm trying to follow this in context. Okay, guys, what the hell? Who spilled Mountain Dew on the board? Why did we just interrupt a show in mid-sentence to hear Raheel tell me not to buy expired milk? The hell?
I
he
have
said,
no idea.
First of all, if it started with what the hell, Barry might have written the actual
message. Can we talk about this for a minute? These short spots where Raheel spouts off some useless advice meant to be cheeky or hip or whatever are, I got to go to the next text here. He's out of lame and weak.
Wow.
Can we get better
text.
Talent?
But
wow.
Then on the flip wow. side, somebody's in order to prevent Raheel from being lame and weak, he goes to the Man Center. To make sure that his testosterone level is up there, because he and AJ talk about that. And then from there, because we're talking about bones, we know that Raheel knows that man's best friend is the way to make sure that your dog and their bones stay in.
What?
Exactly.
I don't know. Somebody.
Plug.
Now it's
plug.
All. Yeah.
The way
now
Raheel is covering. He covers
in now.
The gamut, man. I mean, he leaves no stone or stones unturned, so to speak.
Now they're saying it was just mid-sentence. Like somebody else, a different texter said, right in the middle of, you guys went straight to commercial right in the middle of y'all's talk. This is garbage.
We can't have that anymore.
That's
Nick,
Bobby and Conroe. What's happening? Nick,
you got to get with your man B. You got to go down the hall and get your man B and say, enough is enough. Our listeners demand better. Because if they're gonna take us with them, they have to be given the ability to tune out Raheel.
I have somebody said F this stream. I have opened up Pandora's box here.
Shocker!
Now we're the life tips with Raheel will make you want to kill yourself. Isn't that kind of the opposite of what the life tip is?
It's supposed to be a good thing.
I think so.
And basically, to completely prove my point about any mention. Is a good mention when Raheel feels they're talking about us. He just tweeted in, "Hell yeah, another segment about me."
See,
so whether
I don't understand this, y'all are hating on Raheel, and the man is genius.
I'm not hating on him.
I go and do some of his scripts that he writes. The dude, y'all are hating on the wrong person.
First of all, Nick, are we hating on him?
No, not you. I'm talking to the listeners. I'm not talking to you, Joel. I'm talking to the listeners.
See, I think that the biggest problem
so
is they don't. They
just, I know,
but they just don't like the fact that the spots pop up
randomly
in the middle of our segments.
I think. Well, what happened is apparently at some point while we were in mid sentence having a discussion, it flipped to one of Raheel's life quotes or life moments or whatever the hell it's called, and just cut out on us, and so they missed our very important dialogue that we have.
Yeah, you can't have that.
And so now it's just all about this hate for Raheel's spots, and I need to hear these now. I need these, Nick. That is your. By tomorrow, we need at least two examples of Raheel's spots to play on this show.
I want to say I've heard him on the radio, but I'm not exactly sure which ones he's referring
to. I know Phil Pot. I've heard Phil
him.
Pot's pickup lines, which are pretty funny. Those used to run on the stream.
That is
but
hilarious.
Get with Michael Carroll. I bet you he has at least two of Raheel's life lessons that we can play on the show. And Joel and I will be the judge of how good or bad they are, right?
Yeah, and Sherry's Berries over here, and I will get down to the brass tacks of the matter. How about that?
Are you going
to
call him Joel for, like, the rest of the
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. Whenever I feel like it. whenever the mood strikes me.
And I'm going to call him Sherry's Berries and Low-Hanging
just,
Fruit.
Maybe just when we talk Rockets, I'll call him Joel.
Okay, so by the way, we have struck a nerve and people are listening, which is another good sign because Raheel chimed in.
Yeah.
And we have told people that you can get us 24/7 by using the app and the bad commercials and the illegal break-ins, as well as the internet. And Brandon is basically telling us right now from down the hall, we're about to have some different new spots on the stream soon that everyone should like.
How come?
And they will send us a sample in a second. But what we really want, what Barry really wants, is a sample of the bad spots that are running with Raheel.
I want the crap. That's what matters to me. I want to hear the horribleness, not the goodness. I don't care if it's good. I want the horrible stuff.
See, and Raheel liking this, but if Barry calls it crap, essentially in Raheel's mind, it's all fertilizer and something will grow good of it.
Why has no one come to me and asked me to write any of these spots? Then they would be gold. That's what I want to know.
Gold,
no
Johnny.
One has
gold.
Come to me yet. This is an atrocity.
That's a red flag for you.
Keenan McCardell is next.
This is a Travis Sham mockery is what this is. I am glad Keenan's. I saw him in the restroom.
Oh, did he wash his hands?
That's a man that washes his hands.
Yeah, he doesn't make the list.
That is a friend of mine right there. That is a friend of mine.
Keenan good, Raheel bad. Learn that and more. ESPN 97.5 FM.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hi-oh! We got a half hour left to go, and we've got a special guest, as we do every Wednesday at 3:30, Keenan McCardell, 17-year vet of the NFL, and the man who has coached in college and pros, and recently was the receivers coach for the University of Maryland, coaching Stephon Diggs, who is having one hell of a season, although the guy to my right thinks that the tight end is the most prolific offensive weapon that the Vikings have. I said Mr. Diggs would be. We can let that and more be on your lap and on your plate to chime in on. But we have plenty of things to get to with you in the studio. Welcome back into the humble abode in the living room.
Thank you for having me back in the living room. I thought y'all kicked me out for a while.
No, we would never do such a thing.
Of course not.
No, you've elevated to a recliner.
I know. It's nice, too. Got my feet up in the air.
You like the one that vibrates?
No, that's yours.
No.
It has your name on it.
Okay, so Bear, take him home. At least get him going.
Huh?
We saved Bear. Some stuff just for him.
So yeah. I have my first question goes about the Texans, all right?
Right.
For you, DeAndre Hopkins, one catch for 4 yards. Several balls were underthrown, and we talked about it. Can't even if it's going to be a 50-50 ball, you got to have a 50-50 chance of getting it. How frustrated is he that we're not seeing? Like, what is going through his mind right now?
Well, I mean, fortunately, I was at the game on Sunday, mm-hmm. and I saw the couple passes that were thrown to him, the attempts that he had. You know, the two attempts that were picked off. One was a forced. And one was an underthrown ball. You know? And I've heard some guys say, well, DeAndre Hopkins caught most of those 50-50 balls last year. But most of those 50-50 balls last year were catchable.
Yeah,
they were true 50-50
right.
balls.
Right. Exactly.
Not 2 and 3 yards underthrown.
Yep.
So, you know, right now I've been in this situation. You're a little frustrated because you're the number one target and you're the number one guy and you get – you know, you get 4 attempts, you catch one ball. You don't think you've helped your team. But what I did like about what DeAndre Hopkins has done, he's not pouted about it. You know, you come off, your competitiveness may bite you a little bit coming off. But as you get to the sideline, you realize it's about team. And he's happy that Will Fuller is doing what he's doing. Because sooner or later, about a midpoint of this season, people are going to realize that this kid is a threat. Will Fuller is a threat. And it's going to help DeAndre Hopkins. And you know what? It's going to be now DeHop is going to get single coverage, and he's going to make his plays. You know, and I know from a guy that caught 100 balls, you know, he wants the ball because he's been targeted, I think, last year like some ungodly amount of times, like 14, 15 times a game. I wish I could have gotten that, but, you know, it will come. And as the season rolls on, this league is going to be more of a passing game.
And it, you know, you looked at it because we, you know, as for as long as we've been friends, your stats were always up there in the top 10. And all of a sudden, the pass happy offensive systems that people started running, people just got in, and within 7 or 8 years, their numbers were starting to float around the top 10. And you saw this influx of offenses that just want to zip it around the entire game. But that's what I said. When you look at, okay, you look at what Xavier Rhodes did, and this is how we transition. You love this. We're going to transition into two different things. One, the fact that the Vikings now are going to be the opponent for the Texans.
Right.
And so if we saw what happened with Tennessee and trying to take D-Hop away, and we talked about the 50-50 balls. Now you're talking about a defense that's pretty much guaranteed top five in the NFL, top two probably,
right,
the Broncos. But you look at what they can and can't do. Rhodes is a guy that basically shut down Odell Beckham. Now you look at him and you say, one, who does he guard? And should the other guy have an advantage with Terrence Newman? Because of the fact that you look at and you say, look, with the way Fuller has played and come onto the scene and made a statement, everybody said to start the year, you're going to try and take D-Hop away. Now you got to pay a lot more attention to Will Fuller.
Yeah, and it's going to help the whole offense. It's just not going to help the pass game. It's going to take guys out of the box. You know, when Will starts to make his plays, it's going to take guys out of the box. It's going to help Lamar Miller. It's going to help the whole offense. You know, and Minnesota is a tough defense. You know they're going to match up one-on-one. You know, Xavier Rhodes on D-Hop, but a lot of times everybody say he shut Odell down. You know, they don't see the back end of the coverage. They see the front end of the coverage where they see Xavier Rhodes. He probably has a safety rolled over the top. So it looked like he was taking him out of his game. Not saying that they didn't play some man-to-man against Odell, but, you know, he was probably doubled, and that's what D-Hop is probably going to get, some two-man with a man in front of him and a safety over the top until, one, Will continues to play, and two, Lamar just breaks him off for one of those 150, 160 games. Then guess what? Hey, man, we gotta pick our poison. Are we gonna stop the passing game, or are we gonna stop the running game? You know, and I think, you know, Lamar is coming along, but he's had a great season. I'm not gonna, you know, he's by far past what I was expecting from him, mm-hmm. and I got to give him a lot of credit because he came in ready to work. But I still want to see him just take over a game. If he takes over a game, it makes it so much easier outside.
We'll come back to OBJ in a second because I want to get your thoughts on where he is mentally and what's going on with that.
We don't know.
but first, I want to ask you, I mean, you were at the game, and I said this yesterday and I've said it before. That win, to me, was fool's gold. I mean, they won based off of a Will Fuller return punt for a touchdown, which isn't going to happen every week for them.
Right.
So they basically were in a dead heat tie 20-20 with the Titans in the fourth quarter. That's a fool's gold win. Do you agree or disagree? And where do you think this team is at even though they're 3-1?
You know what? As a team, you realize it may have been a fool's gold game, a win for you, but at the end of the day, in December, January, it's still a W. But as a team, when you go back in the locker room and say, man, we could have played a whole lot better. We made some mistakes. We found a way to win, mm-hmm. which good teams do. They find a way to win. And now you got to go back this week and work on it because you know you're playing a better team in the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, and you know what? Tennessee is not far. I mean, I just don't think Tennessee had enough explosive plays or dynamic players outside that could scare the Texans out of, you know, out of their coverages, you know, because you left a lot of guys outside one-on-one. Kareem went out the game and, mm-hmm. you know, it was one-on-one outside and they never took a shot.
Yeah.
J. Joe went out. They took a lot of shots.
No.
The secondary took shots injury-wise to where Tennessee should have. And I said the same thing. I said, look, for all the people that were scrutinizing Mariota, scrutinize Brock Osweiler just as much, if not more, because the only difference is the amount of money in their bank accounts. The fact of the matter is Mariota was athletic and then got indecisive after he got out of the pocket and realized he could get 8 to 10. All of a sudden, he decided he was going to throw the ball. That's what got him in trouble.
Right.
Brock just made a lot of bad throws, man.
Yeah, he made a lot of bad throws in the pocket. Mariota looked like a young quarterback.
Right.
I mean, indecisive on whether to run or throw the ball, you know. If I'm their quarterback coach, I'm saying, man, when you get outside of the pocket, run.
Get what you can and get out.
I'll take what you give me with your legs.
Mm-hmm. But get down.
But I mean, you know, they know that. But take what you can give me with your legs instead of making a decision on a run and making a bad throw, because you never throw back across your body to the middle of the field. And that's a young quarterback's mistake, and he shouldn't make that mistake now.
Let me ask you something else. Play calling becomes a big thing. Everybody's talking about it. UT's talking about it with Charlie Strong. Before anybody else started talking about it, Bill O'Brien said, I'm taking back the play calling.
Loved it.
You loved it. Okay, some people have said, and including Bill O'Brien trying to deflect it, have said, shouldn't make any big difference because everybody's involved. It just takes one of the decision-making processes out of it because I'm going to make the final decision anyway. But break it down for us, because the one thing I noticed was Lamar Miller in the first two series, it was Miller, Fuller, and the tight ends, and they moved the ball. And all of a sudden in the third series, they got away from it, they got pass happy, and they got themselves in some trouble. So I just want to hear your breaking down the play calling and why you loved it, and then if you thought that it changed after those first two series.
You know what I loved? It. He came out with multiple formations. He had a slight hurry up, not a too much of a hurry up, as a sugar huddle. They were back to the line of scrimmage. He spread the defense out, and then he brought them back in, and with some compact sets to get the ball to the tight ends. And when he spread them out, he ran the ball. I mean, he gets extra defenders out there, and he ran the ball well. And what he also realized that if I kept a hurry up pace, I could get the big boys tired up front, mm-hmm. and we can run the ball. It makes it a lot easier on my offensive line to position block these guys and get them going. I mean, he made some great calls. I mean, I really enjoy Bill calling because he's a great offensive mind. I mean, you think about all the stuff that that Tom Brady was doing when Bill was there. Think about it. I mean, Bill was making those play calls and stuff like that. So I like Bill calling the plays, and I hope he continues.
There you have it. We got the hurry up offense going because we got so much to get to with Keenan McCardle up until 4 o'clock. So if you got something you want to chime in on, 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter, and we will have more of Keenan right after this. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Last segment, Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, along with our special guest every Wednesday, Keenan McCardell. We are breaking it down and getting to the nuts and the bolts of football as we speak. Hey. That's what Barry really likes, and Raheel. But with that, I turn it back over to Barry, who gets down to what we really want to talk to you about, which is this whole OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr. thing and all of his craziness and quotes that have come out in the last 24 to 48
hours. It's like we're watching this dude slowly lose it. Like, he's losing his he held it together so well when he first was going back and forth and all this limelight was on him, and he was the fun-loving Odell Beckham that everybody, oh, look how he's so spectacular. Right. And now he's slowly losing it. Like, he's going crazy. Right? And this is the latest. So these are some quotes from Odell Beckham. I'm not having fun anymore. Like, he's just literally just coming out and saying, this isn't working for me. I'm not having fun anymore. And then Dez Bryant tried to say, look, football's a game of emotions. I'm sorry for the ones who don't understand that. No harm intended. Tom Coughlin's trying to say he's a good kid. He's a team guy in the room. But what is happening to him? He's slowly deteriorating.
It's a game of emotions. I wore my emotions on my sleeve when I played also. But at some point, you can't make it about yourself. It's got to be about the Giants. You know, some games, you're going to catch one ball, and guess what? It's the reason why. That's called respect.
Yeah.
When a team tries to take you out of a game, out of the game plan, it's called respect.
Look at D-Hop. Yeah. He handled it
a lot better.
A lot better, but now, he had the same situation.
But also, you can take your own self out of the game also, because as a coach, you're calling plays, and you don't know what the heck your number one receiver's doing. He's over there punching folks, turning flips, pushing people. You know, they're getting him out of his mindset of being who he is. A superstar wide receiver, and that's what they're trying to. That's what they were trying to do to him. Mm-hmm. They have already recognized that if we get up under his skin, guess what? We've taken him out of his game.
And it's rare that you think you can do that in the pros because you try it, right? Like, I'm sure guys try all the time to get people out of their game by getting up under their skin. I'm sure people tried it with you all the time. Yeah.
You know it.
You know it's coming.
Yeah.
You know it's coming because of prior things that have happened. So when you step into the forum, you just say, man, whatever.
Yeah, come on,
catch
man.
Catch me when.
Look, Rhodes knew it.
Catch me. Rhodes knew it right
because
away.
You know whether it was written in the scouting report or not. He
get
knew
up
that
out of his skin.
Yes, and continue to do it because if he bends, he will break. And he was. You could see him following over to the sideline, mimicking him. All the things that he saw in the past as a hot button trigger to taking him out of the game instead of allowing him to engage in it.
It's all about emotions. But you know how you kill all that with as a playing receiver? Go put it up in the end zone. Go put up big numbers on him. And guess how, you know what you do? When you come in the stadium, nobody will say anything mm-hmm. to you. But if you let them get up under your skin, they're going to keep doing it and doing it. And as a play caller, you're mad because your number one receiver is acting a fool over there. So I'm going to get a ball to the other two guys that are catching up. They're making plays.
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard.
They're still mentally in it.
Cruz is making plays. And now you're pissed off at the play caller being the number one receiver because he's not giving me the ball. You're thinking that, oh, they're not giving me a ball. No, you're not getting the ball because you're acting a fool over here and showing up everybody on the sideline and hitting yourself with the kicking net.
Yeah, we talked about the fact that he lost round one
and
to the
crying.
Kicking net.
I mean, that's my thing. I say,
man,
you, I know you're that mad. So what? Just be patient and let the game come to you.
Wait a minute. Just one sec. Because you talked about the fact that this is about the Giants, not about him.
Right.
But even with the quotes from your old coach, Tom Coughlin, who coached him a year ago, he was an established name. He was a veteran name. You had to respect him. The thing that I see here, which could be a long-term effect for the Giants that's going to be disastrous, is Ben McAdoo is a young coach.
Right.
Ben McAdoo's trying to prove himself as he shows that he is in control of his team. What Beckham is doing right now is discrediting everything that he's trying to build up, and that hurts your entire team.
It hurts the team. It shows that it could be a lack of discipline thing with the team, mm-hmm. even though it may be discipline on the team, but your superstar is showing that it's not. You know, and that's one thing about, I know Tom myself, I don't know McAdoo like I know Tom. Tom will pull his coattail right away. You got to have a coach that has the authority to come to Odell and say, hey, man, you need to calm this down and let's play football. It's not about you. Go play football.
You can't be scared to coach. You
got to nip it in the bud.
Yep.
And I know their receiver coach very well. He's a very good friend of mine. And I know because I know he wants to say that, but I don't know how much he can say it because mm-hmm. he's had Odell since he was at LSU. You know, and I know he's seen him grow. You know, and my thing is, don't be afraid now because Odell is who he is now in mm-hmm. the NFL. He's still the same kid that you coached in college. Go ahead and tell him what you used to tell him in college and get him going. Because after a while, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Especially when guys like Eli Manning are saying, hey, he brought this on himself. If your quarterback, the leader of your team,
and guess what that
is
means.
Saying that.
Guess what that means?
Yeah.
I might not be getting you the ball
yeah.
early and often like you like.
Writing's on the wall. I tell you, when I realized that, whoa, this is much bigger than just not getting a call, was when you saw him crying. It was like, there's something not right up there in him right now. I'm not saying long term, but what is that?
That's something that you, it's a mental game. This game is mental. Yeah. You know, and I would love to sit down and talk to him and just... Just like, man, this thing is bigger than you. The NFL is bigger than Odell.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, there are going to be some more Odell Beckhams that come through there.
Well, and, we've seen Terrell Owens cry. We've seen it like where it's not like the it's
that's
not
my quarterback.
It's not yeah. out of the it's not out of the realm of possibility.
All that it's emotion. I love the emotion that he has, but you got to channel it in the right direction.
Right.
And you know,
my quarterback.
And that's what you.
That's right.
That's I like it. I
See
mean,
how Nick's
but,
getting
but,
a part of the
but,
show.
But you channel it in the right direction, and it'll help your team.
Well, it's like if you look at guys like Jordan and Larry Bird. When people would talk trash to them, They would use that.
They channeled it.
Yes, they would use that and just, and that's why people stopped talking trash. Well, except for Vernon Maxwell. But that's why people stopped talking as much trash as they did to guys like that. And if you're going to be a superstar and you're going to, you've elevated yourself to that level, then that's what goes along with it. You know you're going to be a target. You've got to turn that, and like you said, put the ball in the end zone. And it stops.
Damon, we're running out of time. We don't want to leave you sitting on hold. You got a question for Keenan or a comment based on this OBJ and Giants conversation. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. What's up, y'all?
What's going on?
I think that this is way bigger than Odell Beckham, and I tend to think that he's getting scapegoated. Because first and foremost, this is the same organization that wasn't good enough last year, so they needed to fire their coach. And what they did was turn around and keep everything in place and just get rid of the coach. So the problems were broken last year, and they haven't been addressed. Secondly, Odell Beckham, to me, is just defending himself. Now, he's getting a little over out of the line, but that guy from Minnesota hit him late out of bounds. He went to tell a referee about it. The referee didn't do nothing. So the next time, he was forced to defend himself. And Josh Norman picked this man up and carried him to the referee. The referee didn't do nothing. You can't, when you're playing football, Keenan, I'm sure you know, man, you can't let nobody just handle you like that and just walk away. And the referees are protecting him. So
there you go. Damon, we're running out of time. We appreciate the call. Keenan, please respond to that because there was a whole lot there.
It's football, man. I mean, you're going to get hit late. You know, you can't react. Josh Norman carried him to the referee. Guess what? It's part of the game. You knew that was going to happen because it was Josh.
Dude, I didn't even think that bump out of bounds was that much.
It wasn't that
game.
Much.
That was
the
just
biggest
a nudge.
Key to what you said was, at least against Josh Norman, he came back, bounced back, and put up 120 yards. He did nothing against Minnesota because he took himself out of the game.
Yes, because he was frustrated and this and that. And I just think that he has to step back and say, guess what? I am Odell Beckham. I am one of the best receivers in the National Football League. Let me just go out and play.
Yeah.
Be quiet. Let's go play football.
Yeah, I think he's focusing on being the center of attention instead of just being the best receiver that he could be out there.
Sometimes you look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm on a commercial here and there, and you start taking it out on the field, and you shouldn't take it out on the field.
We know who's in those commercials.
Wise words.
We're just not saying. By the way, hey, in a nutshell, that's why he's one of the best to ever play the game, because he can break it down for us and also tell us, hey, at the end of the day, you just got to come to play football. Nick, we just at the end of the day, you just got to come and do good radio. That's what we try to do every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5 FM. We'll see you again tomorrow. Please feel free to pull up a chair and join us, and we'll talk to you then.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.